Now, I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to bring a message today from Ezekiel, chapter 16, verses 1 through 14. Now, the title of the message is, From Nothing to Everything. From Nothing to Everything. Now, this is an interesting message. And I pray that you listen very carefully to this message. Give it a lot of thought, consideration, prayer. Take the scripture down. Go back and read it again later. But now, Ezekiel 16. You have it there? All right, listen. Now, the great, powerful, and glorious nation of Israel rose to such splendor and beauty in the days of King David and his son Solomon. You've read about it. The queen from the south came to visit during Solomon's reign, and she saw all of the riches and glory and splendor of the nation Israel in the days of Solomon, and she said, the half has never been told. But this nation, at that time the greatest nation on the face of the earth, started with one lone name, one individual, a man called Abram. God later changed his name to Abraham, but a man called Abram. We'll call him Abraham because that's the name all of you are familiar with. But this glorious, splendid, great, and powerful nation, Israel, in the days of Solomon, so great that this magnificent queen, when she visited, she said, the half has never been told. But it started with one man. Think of it. And that one man was over 70 years of age when God called him out. He was the first Israelite. No children. He had a beautiful, charming wife whose name was Sarah, but she was well up in years. And the scripture says, past the age of bearing children. He had no heirs, no children. And God called this man out of idolatry. That's right. He didn't know God. He didn't know the true and living God. He was an idol worshiper. He was a pagan. And God called him out. And that was the beginning of this great nation of Israel. From his loins, through Isaac, arose the great nation of Israel. At that time, the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And all the other nations of the world stood still and wondered and marveled at how such a poor, humble, insignificant beginning. One man, one old man and his wife. From that humble beginning could come such an exceeding rich and powerful people. But I know the answer. Do you know the answer? How can it be? I know how it can be. It was by God's favor. It was by God's power. It was by God's grace that Israel was blessed and that Israel rose to such splendor. I'll read it to you in Deuteronomy. You keep Ezekiel there, 16, but listen to Deuteronomy 7. God speaking in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, he said to Israel, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. You were the fewest of all. One man, Abraham. But because the Lord loved you and because the Lord would keep his oath, which he sware by himself. And their glory was his glory. Their beauty and their riches were because of his beauty and his riches and his love for them and mercy and grace for them. And this was often proved not only by their blessings, but it was proven when they departed from him and God lifted those blessings and took away those blessings. And you could see that what Israel was, God made them. What Israel became was by the grace and power of God. That's what my text is all about. Now, let's turn to Ezekiel 16. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 16. And the Lord told Ezekiel, he said, now you speak to this nation of Israel, these people, my chosen people. You speak to them about their sins and about their departure from the Lord God, about their bowing to and serving other gods. You speak to them now, and I'll tell you what to say. All right, Ezekiel 16, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel said. And God said to me, son of man, cause Israel to know her abominations. And say to Israel, thus saith the Lord thy God, your birth and your nativity is of the land of Canaan. I'm going to tell you, God said, where you came from. You came from pagan idolatry. That's where you came from. You've heard of Canaan. Cursed be Canaan. That's what God said to Noah. Cursed be Canaan. And here he's saying, you folks came out of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite. Your mother was a Hittite. And in the day that you were born, in your beginning, your navel was not cut. Neither were you washed in water. You were not salted nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things to you. But you were like a newborn infant, unwanted, cast into the open field to the loathing of your person in the day that you were born. That's your beginning. Do you see this situation? They tell me that long, long ago, during some of these days, in these pagan nations, that if a woman was expecting a child, it was an unwanted child, or when the child was born, if it was deformed, as if it was even a girl sometimes, a female child, they wouldn't even wash it or clean it. When the child was born, they'd just take it and throw it out in the field and let it lie out there till the beast ate it. Wouldn't last long. It died. What a terrible, terrible picture. But God said, that's your beginning, Israel. Your mother was a Hittite, your father was an Amorite, and your birth was of the land of Canaan. And then I pitied thee, and when you were born, you were cast into the open field to the loathing of your person in a wretched, despicable situation. Deformed, unwanted, and polluted. Now watch verse 6. And when I passed by you, listen to this. God said to Israel, I passed by you. I saw you. I saw you as you were. I saw you polluted in your blood. And I said to you, live. You didn't call on me. You didn't love me. You didn't seek me. You didn't pass by me. I passed by you in your helplessness, in your inability. And I said to you, live. Yea, he repeats it. He said, I passed by you and saw you in your blood polluted. And I said, live. And I caused you to multiply as the bud of the field. There are many of you now. You were one despicable, despised, unwanted, deformed infant. And I made you live. And I've caused you to multiply as the bud of the field. And you've increased and you've become great. And your breasts are fashioned, and your hair is grown. And I've clothed you, whereas you were naked and bare. You see the difference? God said, your beginning is that wretched, polluted, loathsome situation of a despised, deserted infant. And I came by in the land of Canaan, and I saw you in your blood, and I said, live. And I've made you a living beauty. I've made you, you see, standing here now, one of the most beautiful women in all the world. I've made you what you are. Listen to verse 8. And I passed by you, and I looked upon you in your blood, and behold, it was the time of love. Who loved whom? Babies incapable of loving. Incapable of helping itself. Incapable of even crying. Doesn't even know its condition. It'll lie where it is till it rots. Never know the difference. But I loved you, God said. It was a time of love. I loved you, and I spread my skirt over you, and I covered your nakedness. Yea, I swear unto you, and I entered a covenant with you. I made a covenant with you. You became mine. And I washed you, verse 9. And I clothed you, verse 10. And I put a crown on your head. And he says, and your renown went forth among all the nations. That's what I've been talking about. The days of David, the days of Solomon. And your renown went forth among all nations for your beauty. And your beauty, listen, my friends, your beauty was perfect through my beauty, which I put upon you, saith the Lord God. From beginning to end, from Alpha to Omega, it's all of the Lord. I brought you from nowhere to where you are now. I brought you from nothing, less than nothing, to everything. But you know, my friends, you say, well, what's that got to do with me? That's what I'm getting to. You see, our chief business as preachers of the gospel is not with Israel, the nation, the national people of the Old Testament. But our chief business as preachers of the gospel is with ourselves and with the true kingdom of God and with the true Israel of God. Because that nation under Moses and David and Solomon, that nation Israel, is but a type and a picture of spiritual Israel. That's right. The nation Israel, delivered from Egypt by the blood, is a picture of true Israel, delivered from sin and the dunghill and the bondage and curse of the law by the blood of Christ. Their tabernacle is a picture of our tabernacle, who's Christ. He tabernacled among us. Their priesthood is a picture of his priesthood, our great high priest. Their mercy seat, where God met them and the atonement was made, is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our atonement and our mercy seat. And the blood of the Lamb, every lamb that was slain and every drop of blood that was shed throughout the whole Old Testament is a picture of him who died there on Calvary's cross, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Not just Israel's sins, but spiritual Israel. You see, he's not a Jew which is one outwardly. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. Circumcision, not of the flesh, it's of the heart. And we're children of God by faith. And we're sons of Abraham by faith. This promise was made to Abraham and his seed. Not seeds as of many, but seed as of one. And that seed is Christ. We are Israel. Every believer is Israel. So this scripture in Ezekiel 16, cause Israel to know her abominations. Cause Israel to know her condition. Cause Israel to know who made the difference. Cause Israel to know what she is by my grace, came from nothing to everything. Cause them to know it. That's, my friend, God's command to me as his preacher, to preach this to you. You see, I see three things here. What we were. It's not just what Israel was, it's what true Israel was. This is what we were. And secondly, what God hath done. And thirdly, what we are now. Would you look at it now? Let's go back and look at it from this standpoint. Look at it not through the eyes of Israel, but through our eyes. What we were. God said, in the day you were born of the land of Canaan. Curse, under the curse. You see, in the day of our birth, we were shapen in iniquity, brought forth speaking lies. In sin, my mother conceived me. We were helpless as this infant when we were born. None I pitied thee. The law condemned us. Holiness was offended by us. Justice waited to slay us. To the loathing of our persons. God said, from the sole of your feet to the top of your head, there's nothing but open running sores that have not been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. None righteous, none that doeth good, none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. In Adam. without help, without hope, without Christ, without God in this world. It's an awful, awful sight. See that baby lying out there in the field, unwanted, helpless, hopeless, hopeless. And that's what we are by nature. That's how we come into this world. We don't come into this world innocent and reach an age of accountability and suddenly become sinners. We're born sinners. In Adam, all die. By one man's disobedience, death passed upon all men. In Adam, all die. By the sin and transgression of Adam, death passed upon all men. We were born that way. What did God do? Watch this. I passed by you. Oh, one day David wrote this. He said, Lord, I looked into the heavens, and when I consider thy heavens, the sun, the stars, the moon, the things you've made, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful of him? He came where we were. I passed by you. I passed by you, and I saw you. I saw you. I saw you polluted in your blood. I saw you just like you are. The hymn writer said, he saw me ruined in the fall, yet he loved me, notwithstanding all. We didn't see him, but he saw us. We didn't love him. He loved us. We didn't want him. He wanted us. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. I passed by you. I passed by you. And I saw you. I saw you polluted in your blood. You know, our Lord came into this world to save sinners. I wish I could get that across to all the people to whom I preach. Christ died for sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. I passed by you. And listen, and he said, I said unto you, when I passed by you and saw you polluted in your blood, I said to you, live. Live. He commands the dead to live. He quickens the dead. He awakens the dead. He opens the grave. And when he speaks, death gives way to life. Darkness gives way to light. Inability gives way to strength. And sickness gives way to health. Our Lord said one time, As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Son quickeneth whom he will. And then he said in verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as my Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And I passed by you, and I said, live. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. I said, live. And then he said this, I spread my skirt over you, and I covered your nakedness. You know, Adam realized he was naked, and he tried to cover his nakedness with fig leaves, and they dried up and they blew away. But Christ comes along with his robe of spotless righteousness, and with his spotless garments on, we're as holy as God's own Son, and he covers our nakedness. I spread my skirt, my robe, my righteousness over you, and you became holy. And then he said, I entered a covenant with you. Now listen, I entered a covenant with you, and you became mine. And when David came to his dying hour, he rejoiced in that covenant. He said, although it be not so with my house, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, and this is all my salvation and all my desire. That covenant, you became mine. And Paul wrote about it in Hebrews 13, now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. God said, there you were, and I passed by you. on purpose, by my divine will, I came your way, and I saw you polluted in your blood, all your sins. I saw you, and I loved you. It was a time of love. And I said to you, live. And you live. And I spread my skirt over you. And I entered a covenant with you. And you became mine. And then he said, I washed you. I washed you with water. It's always washed with the blood. Listen, there's a twofold cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. His precious blood cleanseth us, justifies us, makes us accepted. But then he cleanses us with the washing of regeneration, with the water of the Word. Sanctify them through thy Word. Thy Word is truth. So we're justified and we're sanctified. Top Lady wrote about it in the hymn, Rock of Ages. You've sung it. Do you understand what you're singing? Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath. Make me pure. Justify me. Sanctify me. Give me a right standing and a new heart. Make me a new creature and make me love it. You see? Make me love it. Reconcile God to me and reconcile me to God. That's right. The double cure. I washed you. I washed you. All right. Read on. And I anointed you with oil. The anointing of oil is the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that quickens us. It's the Holy Spirit who regenerates us. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals Christ to us. It's the Holy Spirit who begets faith within us. It's the Holy Spirit who teaches us. It's the Holy Spirit that comforts us. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Believers don't pray for the Holy Spirit. They pray for the filling of the Spirit and the leadership of the Spirit and the blessings of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit to teach them how to pray, but they have the Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. As many as are led by the Holy Spirit, the sons of God. I anointed you with oil. You know, when the Old Testament priest stood before God, put on his holy garments, they poured oil on his head, anointed him with oil. The Spirit of God. Spirit of God. And then he said, watch this. I clothed you. I clothed you. I did it. All of this God does. Salvation's of the Lord. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. 100%. Not 98. 100%. All of God. I make all things new. And I clothed you with broidered work. You know what the broidered work was? Is those beautiful linen veils in the temple. And those Jewish women sat for days and days and days and days and hand embroidered those veils. The purple, the red, the blue. Beautiful. And God says, I've clothed you with that special needlework of glory, of the grace of God. The graces of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all those things that are so beautiful. I shod you with badger skin. Badger skin was tough, lasting, but soft. And that's, we walk through this world and through many trials, and God enables us to bear these trials, but he comforts us as we walk through these valley of the shadow of death. I girded you with fine linen. Who wore fine linen? The priest. And we're priests. We're priests of God. That's right. Every believer is a priest. He hath redeemed us by his blood and made us kings and priests to God. I put broidered work on you. I shod you with the soft yet tough badger skin shoes. I put white linen on you like the priest wears, and I covered you with silk. Who wears silk? The king. King priest. We're his people. And I put a crown on your head. And you'll reign with Christ. I put a crown on your head. Listen. And you're renowned. They're talking about you. And what I did for you. And what I made of you. And what I made you from. And where I found you. And what you are now. Your renown went forth among the nations for your beauty. And it was perfect. Perfect. because it's all Christ. And your perfection was my comeliness. Listen, buried in shadows of the night, we lie till Christ restores the light. Our guilty souls are drowned in tears till His atoning blood appears. And then we awake from deep distress and praise the Lord, our righteousness. What were we? Nothing. 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 Just a despicable, unwanted, deformed infant cast into the sea, born of pagan parents, fallen parents. And God said, I came by. The time of love. I loved you. And I said, live. And I washed you. And I clothed you. And I put a crown on your head. And I entered a covenant with you. And you became mine. Never to belong to anybody else. You're mine. I am my beloved's and He's mine. And I put a crown on your head. And then you were perfect. Perfect. But your perfection was through my comeliness, which I put upon you. He took me from nothing and gave me everything. And someday I'm going to be perfectly conformed. You are too, to the glorious image of Christ Jesus. Praise God for His abundant mercy.